Lord Jesus, give you his peace. Great St. Bartholomew, we hear in today's gospel, Nathanael, and the name means God has given. And it's in fact, the name in Latin, Adeodatus, that St. Augustine gave his son. And it gets at the very mystery of the man who Jesus praises. And in that praise is a great mystery for Nathanael, certainly, because it's the beginning of the unraveling of who he's speaking with. And this is an Israel, indeed, one without guile. There is no duplicity in him. And it gets at the very purity of heart in St. Bartholomew we celebrate today. And it's also a call for us as well. The first reading, St. John, of course, who was an intimate of the Lord, rested against his Sacred Heart at the Last Supper, is taken up on the island of Patmos to see the heavenly Jerusalem come down. And it's a fulfillment of Isaiah 2, of on the mountain of the Lord, the house of the Lord will be repaired, of the church. And also from Psalm 24, who can ascend this mountain but only those whose hands are pure and whose hearts are pure? And St. Bartholomew is showing us just this. There's a lot going on in just a very few words, and it's hard to catch. And in fact, there's a great mystery here, and some of the fathers of the church will talk about this, that Nathanael is convicted of who Christ is by basically that Christ has unfolded to him, I saw you. And when you were talking about, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But at the same time, the text will say, before Philip called you. And Dr. Hahn has an explanation which involves scripture, which is a good take for sure. And it might even involve something we just read in this last week's liturgy in Judges 9 about a fig tree and reigning over us. But nevertheless, Nathanael does know the scriptures because part of his question as far as can anything good come out of Nazareth would seem to presuppose his knowledge of the book of the prophet Micah and where the Christ will come from. He is obviously a man. Philip, just after he meets Jesus, this is his kind of default setting. I got to go tell Nathanael. Why? Because Nathanael's looking for the Christ. He's expecting. He's watching. And part of that watching is that simplicity of Nathanael, that he does know the sacred scriptures and he's looking out for the Christ. And so it's a call for us as well that, and Blessed John Henry Newman has a very, very powerful sermon on this very word, watching, at getting at our simplicity of vision. He says there are many Christians who do all kinds of things, but there are very few who watch for the Christ. And that watching, of course, goes on. The revelation of Jesus and his word goes on every day at every moment, breaking into history. Okay, so this simplicity is something we want to adopt. Certainly, St. Francis, we can say it's a seraphic virtue. It's one of the six virtues that St. Francis praises and his hymn to the virtues, and it's paired up with wisdom, and it's paired up with wisdom even in Scripture, be as wise as serpents and as simple as doves. And this sister simplicity will lead to wisdom. In fact, St. Bonaventure kind of traces a course for us that St. Francis grew in simplicity because of his great love of poverty. And so too for us. I mean, even some spiritual writers will talk about even something as simple as poverty in clothing, dressing humbly, will conduce us towards more and more towards a humble state of being. It's something external, sure, but also it will have this dynamic on what on the interior. So too, here we have poverty leading to simplicity, leading to wisdom, and that route being traced out for us by St. Francis. This is St. Francis de Sales on a definition, more or less, of what simplicity is. They ask me what is properly speaking Christian simplicity, to which I answer that it consists merely in having no other end in view and all which we do than to please God and to glorify him. From this we may conclude that simplicity and pure intention are one and the same thing, and that it is the simple eye of which our Lord speaks in the gospel, illuminating the whole body, rendering all our acts deeds of light. And so we see it in Nathanael because, I mean, Jesus praises him, and he's not inflated, he's not puffed up. How do you know me? And he's still on track. And basically, who are you? And he does profess, you are the Son of God, the Christ, the King of Israel. So there's no duplicity in him, and this is actually a good gauge for us as well, because the world teaches duplicity, and it teaches duplicity to our children as almost a form of good manners, which is very, very twisted. In other words, that which is in your heart, you don't say. Well, certainly there's, you know, we have to be discreet with what we can reveal, but at the same time, not to be walking contradiction, so to speak, and we act differently than how we are. But this is often very much our children sometimes imbibe this, that you know, what is false is actually proclaimed as being true. And, you know, sometimes what people will talk about, these little white lies, you know, of saying things that they just don't mean at all. And that is, of course, duplicity. And so let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything else comes from the evil one. So we have this virtue of sister simplicity. And St. Francis's words, "Hail, Queen Wisdom, may the Lord protect you with your sister, holy, pure simplicity." And one of the things we can think about with this is that simple I. And St. Bonaventure will talk about St. Francis as having the steady gaze of a dove. And that gaze, again, the eyes of the dove in the Song of Songs, "There is one, my beloved, and her eyes are doves." And the eyes of doves, according to Origen, are all black because of this pure receptivity. And there's no admixture. Basically, that word in Scripture, simple, gets at there's no adulteration, there's no admixture with this purity of intention. And it jives very well with what the very little we know about Nathanael from Scriptures is that he seems to know the Scriptures quite well. And that is also a lesson for us as well in this year of faith, that practices like Lectio Divina purify the inner eye, both the eye of understanding and certainly the eye of faith. And as we come up against the Word of God and against our own sinfulness, at times being convicted by the Holy Spirit, that's a purification, should we accept it in faith. And consequently, the great spiritual exercise we should take up every day, and of course in families, sharing the sacred scriptures with the children every day, that is a, really we can say, an immaculation for the family of becoming more and more like the Immaculate, who of course, the Song of Songs, that's in one person that refers to her, your eyes are doves, the bride of the Lamb. Certainly the church, certainly the individual soul, but in a personal, individual sense to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So this eye, of course, is the lamp of the body. And if we think about the fall, a part of what the devil promised, a false promise, of course, but your eyes will be opened. What the eyes were open once after they ate the forbidden fruit was basically my own radical insufficiency and consequently my great fear of I won't be able to provide and being closed in on oneself, basically, the caving in of the human person because of original sin, hence the ego arising and trying to carve out my own personal possession. Well, of course, the eyes were closed in original sin. The eyes were closed to the all-encompassing sufficiency of God. And that's the eye that we need to open more and more and more. Hence poverty, which means I've got nothing. Everything that I have is a gift from God, and I am completely dependent upon Him. That opens up the eye to see the all-sufficiency, all of our sufficiency is from God. Every breath, every blink of the eye, every interaction, whether for good or for evil, is in the all-encompassing providence of our good, all-good Lord. And that purifies the intention, because that's what I want. Whatever it is, that's what we must want. This, of course, has everything to do with the Marian vow. As Father Minelli has written, the Immaculate must be our fixed idea. Romano Guardini has a beautiful line. He says, reflect on who is Mary. He says, basically, Mary is Jesus' fixed idea. And that, when we take up the Immaculate in just that sense, we are imitating Jesus in the purity and intention of his most sacred heart. That's pretty good. The imitation of Christ, making the Immaculate our fixed idea. And so, anything that hinders that, and there can be many, many things that hinder that, they're all lesser goods. They're all lesser goods. So that we might truly be sons of so worthy a mother. This day we ask St. Bartholomew for that purity of vision, both as we take in the sacred scriptures, but also in the conviction how we are falling short in our daily lives.
Fructum ventris tuum.